Mark chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 26. I'm going to read from verse 26 through verse number 31, and then I want to share what God's laid on my heart for tonight. We realize that Jesus has just had the Last Supper with His disciples. That's what's just taken place in Mark chapter number 14. In verse 26 it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." As I began to study this passage of Scripture, the Lord began to deal with me about this thought, a wake-up call, a wake-up call. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. I pray for each one, Lord, that's listening on Facebook, and for those who will later listen on the sermon audio. I pray, God, for every single soul that listens to this message. And God, that you would wake us all up. That this would be the message, God, that stirs in us and reminds us that it's time to wake up. And I pray, God, you'd bless it. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A wake-up call. As I was praying today and thinking on this subject that the Lord began to deal with me so strong about, a wake-up call. When people think of a wake-up call, we think about a lot of different things. I think of my alarm or my phone going off at an a.m. time, early in the morning. And when that buzz or that sound goes off that I've selected on my phone, I think of how it jars me and shakes me. And I reach over to my nightstand and I'm looking for that button to cut that wake-up call off. I think of times that we've been out of town and you'll call down to the lobby and you'll say, Now, I need to get up at such and such time. Could you give me a wake-up call? And you'll be laying in that motel and that phone will ring and it'll just jar you. And you're in an unfamiliar place and you begin to scramble and search. Where's that phone? Where's that phone? I think of that wake-up call that happens in our lives. These times when the call or the buzzer sounds, it's shocking to us. It'll shock us. It'll shake us out of our sleep. There's even been times when I've been really tired and I needed to get up early the next morning and do something. When that wake-up call comes through, whether it's that call or that buzz or whatever that noise is, there's been times that it's come through and I've just shook in my bed. Like I almost feel like the whole house shook when it scared me and woke me up the way that it did. I would jump. I was thinking about this wake-up call, how there are some, that when that call comes through, they'll reach over and they'll hit what we call the snooze button. And they'll fall right back to sleep. Sometimes that snooze button is set for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or however long that your phone or clock will allow you to set that. And then guess what happens next? Boom, it hits again and it shakes you and you say, oh no, it's time to get up. But also I've noticed this at times, there's the wake-up call and then there's the snooze button and then there's the time that you just cut the alarm off and you say to yourself, 5 more minutes. If I can just lay here 5 more minutes. And there's been times in my life that I've done that. me and Miss Watkins will hear the clock go off and we'll cut it off, and I'll think to myself, I'll get us up in 5 more minutes. But there's been several times down through the years of our marriage where both of us has woke up, whether it be 30 minutes or 45 minutes later, and then we find ourselves in a panic. I get tickled at my wife. She jumps up. She goes running through the house like the house is on fire. She goes to flipping lights on and she starts hollering, "We've overslept, gotta get up, we've overslept, you gotta get up." And then there is a sure panic going on in our house. And sometimes, it'll ruin your whole morning. And if you're not careful, it can ruin your whole day. That's wake-up calls. There's a different kind of wake-up calls that other people's experienced in their life. And it could be something like this. Could have been a car wreck in your life. It was a wake-up call. Sickness. Maybe the death of a friend or a family member. I think of people that I've talked to here recently that have shared with me their experiences of drugs and alcohol and their overdoses. Wake-up calls. And then the Lord began to deal with me that's sweeping our whole world right now. It could be a virus. A wake-up call. What will we do? What will I do? And what will you do when the wake-up call comes? Whatever it might be in our lives, what will we do with it? Will we just hit the snooze button and roll over and say, "Oh, I'll just keep laying here"? Or will we jump up and get serious about our day? Will we get more focused on what we need to do? Will we begin to concentrate and say, "That was a wake-up call for me personally. I feel like I need to be more serious about my life"? Or will we just keep sleeping? Just keep sleeping. I can't speak for anyone that is listening tonight. I can only speak for myself. And I don't want to get into all of my past because I got a message that God's laid on my heart to preach in the Scriptures. But God reminded me when I was studying this morning that there was a time in my life, for me personally, that I had a serious wake-up call. I was a lost teenager, living in the world, enjoying the sin and the pleasures of the world. And I went to a party that night, which was not the first party I'd went to. I don't want to get into all the details. But that night, on my way home, all I can remember is someone dropping me off and telling me that I was home. And to this day, I don't know who those people were. I can remember laying in my bed that night, just could not sleep, and laying there just nervous and panicking and could not get control of my mind or even my body. It was a bad night that night. And as I laid there till I seen the sun come up the next morning, and I heard my mom get out of bed and begin to make breakfast that Saturday or Sunday morning. That was a wake-up call for me. Because looking back on that time in my life, I was headed down such a bad, steep road, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse, and it was like a snowball that kept getting bigger. But you know what happened that night? It was a wake-up call. And as far as I can remember, that was the last time that I was intoxicated and messed up on any kind of drugs or alcohol in this world. And it wasn't long after that I went to church and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I can't speak for you, but I can only speak for myself. And I'd be willing to say that my family's here, Brant's here, and the youth pastor's family's here, just a handful of us here. But I'd be willing to say, just with those here, and no doubt those that are listening, if we would take just a few minutes and think about our lives, there has been different things in our lives. It was a wake-up call. Now, I can't say that every wake-up call is something bad. There are some wake-up calls in our lives that has been blessings. The Lord has blessed us and He has poured something into our lives. We've experienced the blessings from God as a Christian, and the Lord has allowed those good things to happen, and it shook me and it woke me up and it made me realize I need to get more serious about my life. So just because I'm preaching on a wake-up call don't mean it's always something bad. It could be that new job that the Lord blessed you with and you realize, man, God has blessed me and I need to wake up and start doing what God would have me to do. It could be that unexpected blessing that has been poured into your life and you realize, man, this could only come from the Lord, and God can use so many things in our lives to wake us up. The title of this message tonight is a wake-up call. And when that happens in our lives, I believe that we realize what really matters. I wrote down three things that happens to me every time I've ever had a wake-up call in my life, and I've had several. The number one thing that matters to me more than anything else is the Lord. Everything automatically gets laser back focused on God in my relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. The second thing that gets put right back in perspective is my family. My family. I get really focused back on the Lord, and I get really focused back on my family and then my friends and my church family. Because at the end of the day, what else matters? Let's look in the Bible at a man by the name of Peter that God gave him a wake-up call. God gave him a wake-up call. Look at Peter. Several verses that I looked up in the way of introduction, and then I'm going to get into the message. I find in Matthew chapter number 4 that Peter and his brother Andrew was fishing. They was fishermen. And Jesus called to them and said, "Follow me." And Jesus told Peter and his brother, He said, "I will make you fishers of men." And they left their fishing boats and they began to follow Christ. Matthew chapter 14, I read where Peter, this same man who saw Jesus out on the water, and he asked Jesus if he could come, and he said, "Come on, Peter." And this man, Peter, gets out of the boat and begins to walk on the water. You say, "Yeah, but he sunk." Hey, listen, Peter walked on the water. I was thinking about Peter. Thinking about Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus told Peter, He said, "This is a rock," and He said, "We're going to build my church." I think about Matthew chapter 17 where Peter, James, and John was on a mountain and they saw Jesus and they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. Just the things in Peter's life. I get to Matthew chapter number 26 and I see where Peter is praying with Jesus in the garden. We're going to look at that a little bit closer here tonight. I get to Mark chapter number 8 and I see where Peter says that Jesus is the Christ. Oh yeah, you're the Christ. There's no doubt about it. And all this scripture that's speaking of Peter, and then I begin to think about Resurrection Sunday, which is coming up this Sunday, Easter Sunday, and I think about the closing scriptures about Peter's life and how it points straight to Easter Sunday and Christ's resurrection. Christ and Peter's life. Let's look into our text that we've read tonight in Mark chapter number 14, verses 26 through 31. I'm interested when I was studying this, if you like to write things down or if you like to remember outlines, I've got two thoughts tonight. And the first one is this: Peter's promise. Peter's promise. I would ask you tonight, have you ever promised the Lord something? I have. We see Peter's promise. Chapter 14, verse 26 through 31. We see that he says this. Peter says this. "But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." That's what Peter said in verse number 29 of Mark chapter 14. "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." What is Peter saying when he makes that statement? Well, we've got to understand what Jesus said And then when Peter made the promise. Jesus said in verse number 27 that all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And then Peter made his promise. See, when Jesus makes the statement in verse number 27, all, he's speaking of all of his disciples. And that phrase, shall be offended, means this. I didn't realize this, but when you study that word offended, it means all of you shall be offended. It means that every single one of you disciples are going to get tripped up. You're going to get tripped up. You're going to walk into a snare. That's what Jesus is telling them. And then he gives the prophecy of Zechariah 13:17. It is written, God will smite the shepherd, which is Jesus, and the sheep will scatter. And he's saying, and all of you will fall, and all of you will scatter. Verse 28, he says, but I will rise again. Jesus speaking, and he says, I will be in Galilee. That's where I'm going to be hanging out, fellas. Just remember what I've told you. Every one of you guys are going to fall. You're going to scatter out because you don't realize it, but I've been trying to tell you, but you won't listen. I'm fixing to be crucified. I'm fixing to be buried, and I'm fixing to rise again on the third day. And none of you guys are getting it, but what I tell you is every single one of you is going to scatter, and you're going to fall. And Peter says, no way. Not me. There's no way I'm going to. He says, but I will rise again. And he said, I'll meet you guys in Galilee. He says, what Jesus is pretty much saying is I'll be waiting on you. We see Peter's promise in verse number 29. He says, Peter said, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. In other words, what he's saying, these other disciples might get tripped up. These other guys might get caught in a snare, but I'm going to tell you something, Jesus, I won't. Everybody else will, but I'm good. There is no way that I'm going to get tripped up. We see Peter's promise. Look what else he says in verse number 30. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. That's what Jesus said. And Peter's answer, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. In other words, the other disciples said it, but Peter was the spokesman for them all. He was violently saying it. He was excessive in his talking. He was beyond measure when he said it. In other words, Peter just wasn't making a promise. He was making like this huge big deal out of it. He was almost like getting mad and saying, look, he's going to, he might, but I won't. I'll guarantee you, I'm not going to fall. I am not going to be scattered. I promise I'm going to be what I need to be for you, Lord. Peter was getting mad about it.
We see Peter's promise. But then we got to understand something. We got to understand not only number one, Peter's promise, but number two, and this is my last point, we got to understand Peter's problem. He's got a problem. When I began to study this, I found out that Peter's problem, I have the same problem. And when I began to study this, not only do I realize that I have the same problem as Peter, but so do you. We all have the same problem. Let's look at his problem in the same chapter in verse 37 and 38. We find now that Jesus and his disciples have now went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us in verse number 32. And he tells his disciples, he said, I want you to sit here and he says, I'm going to go and pray. And he says he went a little farther and he fell on the ground and he prayed. If it were possible, this hour might pass from him. And then it says when he comes, verse number 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping and said unto Peter. Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He said, the spirit truly is ready, but here's Peter's problem. But the flesh is weak. That's Peter's problem. See, inside Peter's spirit said, I will never, never deny you. I will never scatter. I will never give up. I will always be here. I'll even die. I'll do whatever I need to do. But that's Peter's promise. But we find out that Peter has a problem. And when I begin to study this, maybe I don't read my Bible as close as I should, but when I was studying verse number 37, Jesus didn't say to Peter, Peter, could you watch and pray all night? That ain't what he said. Peter, he didn't say, now Peter, here's the deal. I'm in this garden. Judas, one of the 12, has already betrayed me. The soldiers and all of those, they're already headed to come and get me. They're fixing to haul me off to the judgment hall, and I'm fixing to be tried, and I'm fixing to be crucified, and I'm fixing to be hung on a cross, and I'm fixing to be put into a borrowed tomb, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. He didn't say, now Peter, I need you to pray all night long. He just said, Peter. He said, could you pray and watch for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. And see, what happened was Peter fell asleep. He fell asleep. When I began to study verse number 38, it reminded me, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. See, when Jesus shows up in verse number 37, he had to wake Peter up. Peter, could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? That was his first wake-up call. Wake up, Peter! And can I say to you and I tonight, all of us that are listening, I believe the Lord, for me personally, I can't speak for you, but for me personally, I believe the Lord started at the end of last year, and I believe he began to shake me and say, hey, Keith, wake up, watch and pray, watch and pray, be ready, because I know that your spirit is willing, but I also know that your flesh is weak. And that was his first wake-up call. Wake up, Peter, watch and pray. This wake-up call, now this is what's amazing to me as I begin to think about this. This wake-up call came before, not after. This wake-up call came before they come and arrested Jesus. There's a whole message right there. It came before, not after. I wonder how many times in our Christian lives the Lord, through a message or through a song or through a friend or through a pastor or through a Sunday school teacher, down through our lives, especially here in the last little while, I wonder how many times the Lord has tried to wake us up and say, watch and pray. Watch and pray. But you know what I do so many times? Where's that snooze button? In other words, I don't really want to get serious. I don't really want to start watching and praying. I don't really want to do that until after the fact. But see, he wanted Peter awake, watching and praying before the fact. It was a wake-up call. Wake up, Peter, watch and pray. I was talking with a dear friend of mine. I'll just say his first name, Brother Cleve. He said God wants us to be praying on the right side of the river. Let's don't get caught behind and have to pray on the other side of the river. I believe you'll understand that if you think about it a little bit. We don't need to have to get caught up in our prayers when something tragic happens. We should be watching and praying way before anything in our lives ever arises. He said, Peter, watch and pray. But he said, I know what your problem is, Peter. Your flesh is weak. Wow. We continue to read and we'll find out that Judas shows up. The Bible says that he betrayed our Savior with a kiss. We realize that Jesus had told his disciples to buy two swords. We realize that Peter was holding one of those swords. We realize that they come and they was going to arrest Jesus and take him. Peter takes the sword. He swings at a man by the name of Malchus. The Bible teaches us, and he cuts his ear off. Jesus reaches down and puts his ear back on. John 18:10 tells us his name was Malchus. And then here we go. The prophecy begins to take place. The disciples begin to scatter. Just as was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, Peter had already been given the wake-up call to watch and pray. And now we'll see Peter's promise that he made. It's another extension of Peter's problem. I'm still in chapter number 14. I'm going to read just a couple of verses for us tonight. And then I've got a closing thought and we'll pray. Look in verse 66 through 72 of Mark chapter number 14. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, they've took Jesus, they're trying him. As Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch. Now look what happens. And the cock crew. It's another wake-up call, ain't it? "Hey, you're one of those guys that was with Jesus." No. "I don't know what you're talking about." And then he hears the cock crow. I believe right here, not only has Peter not only stopped the wake-up call, but now he's hit the snooze button. Has that ever happened to you before? It has me. "And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, 'This is one of them.' And he denied it again." No, I'm not. "And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.' And he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not this man of whom you speak.'" And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. It's time to wake up. It's time for me to wake up. I was studying in the other Gospels about this same account about Peter denying Christ. And I find that the wake-up call happened in the garden. But then I find there was another call in verse 68. Then there's another wake-up call in verse number 72. And then I find in John chapter 18, verse number 26, the man that Jesus, Malchus, cut his ear off. It says in John 18, 26, that one of Malchus's kinfolk said, one of his kinmen said, "I know, Peter, you was with Jesus because I saw you there." But Luke chapter 22, verse 61 teaches us this. That the third time that Jesus heard Peter, I believe he knew, when Peter denied, they was close enough together that wherever that fire was that Peter was warming himself by, and that place where Jesus was, where they was mocking him and making fun of him and fixing to lead him off and crucify him. And Luke chapter 22, verse 61 says, when that cock crew that second time, it says that the Lord looked at Peter. The Lord looked at Peter. There's several different things we could preach about the Lord looking at Peter, but what it speaks to me about is this. Yes, the Gospels are consistently when it says that Peter wept. But I also believe that Peter never got out of the Lord's sight. And so many times in our life, there's the wake-up call. We hit snooze. There's the wake-up call. We hit snooze. There's the wake-up call. We just roll over and we go to sleep. And we wait to the very last second. And then we say, Oh man, I better get up and get on with it. Has there ever been a wake-up call in your life? I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah today, and he had some interesting thoughts on this coronavirus and the situation that our country's in. And just as our youth pastor, Pastor Jason's already said, this is not the end. But I do believe this for me personally. I can't speak for you. It's been a wake-up call. It has. I'm glad this is not the end of this account. I don't want to call it a story because this is history. This is real life. We find that Jesus has been crucified. That they have placed Jesus in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. Got some good news. On resurrection morning, there were some ladies that come running to that tomb. And when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. And I'm not going to preach my Easter message. And you know what I found out? I found out that Jesus was waiting on Peter just like he said he would be. Because I found out in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 7, after the resurrection, the woman came to the tomb. They found it empty, and the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. It says that specifically. Go tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Wow. Make sure that you tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure that Peter knows that I am going to be exactly where I told him I was going to be. What are you trying to tell us, Preacher Keith? I'm trying to tell us this. When we wake up, and when we watch and when we pray, there ain't no doubt about it. We'll see Jesus. And he'll be there when we need him the most. Can I say to all the believers that are listening, watch and pray. Wake up. Wake up, watch and pray. It's not going to be long, church. Listen, I'm talking to the big church, not just Pleasant Hill. It's not going to be long, church, until we're going to get out of here. And we're going to see him. Because he's exactly where he told us he was going to be. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And one day when that trumpet sounds, Brother Brant, we're out of here. That's why I say to you tonight, watch and pray. Don't let that hour take you by surprise. Don't let that be you that is sleeping when the cry goes out that the bridegroom cometh. Don't let it be you that's asleep. Be awake. Because you know what? I realize I've got the same problem as Peter. Oh yeah. I've got all of this excitement because my spirit is willing, but I know I've got the same problem as Peter did. My flesh is weak. And the only way to be strong in the days that we're living in now is to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Pastor Jason had no idea what I was going to preach tonight. He sent me a message today, and it was along these lines. Hey, brother, I got your message. I appreciate what you sent me. But he said, man, the Lord's been dealing with me about something, Preacher Keith. He said, when all of this gets back to normal, he said, we're going to have to get on with it. He said, we're going to have to get more serious than we ever have before, preacher. He said, we're going to have to really get serious about doing what God's called us to do. He had no idea I was going to preach this tonight. And you're right, Pastor Jason. It's past time. We've hit the snooze button until it's wore out. Let's watch and pray. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, Preacher Keith. It's time to wake up, Preacher Jason. It's time to wake up, Pleasant Hill. And it's time to wake up, America. It's time to wake up. We've been asleep way too long. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for your word and how it spoke to my heart today as I was praying and studying. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we could at least watch and pray 1 hour. Could we just wake up and pray 1 hour? I realize that the Bible teaches us that they slept because of sorrow. And I believe that's what's going on in the hearts and lives of a lot of people in our country today. We're sleeping because of sorrow. But God, wake us up. Wake us up. And let us watch and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.